Hello and welcome to GamerCast episode 249, Microsoft at E3. This is the show recorded on the 7th of June 2010. Hello, I'm your host. My name's Paul and joining me is Catherine.
Hello.
Hello.
This is like our second one.
Yes. So this is the episode we're going to shut up. This is the episode where we're going to talk about Microsoft's announcements at E3 so far.
Sure.
Hey, we're missing a few items from the thing as well.
Are we?
Yeah, I'm just going to type them in for you because they made announcements which weren't in the keynote.
Oh yeah. I saw you add those. Weekends.
Right.
So is it Star Wars Connect or Connect Star Wars?
I think it's Connect Star Wars, because the way the Star Wars logo is normally done is it's, you know, it has Star Wars up in the corner and then Empire Strikes Back. And this time it had Star Wars in big and then Connect. So, whatever. It's the Star Wars Connect game, whatever. Whatever. So, you happy with the show notes?
Yep.
Good. First up, they started with Modern Warfare 3. This was really interesting footage. I'm a bit bored now.
Well, okay, so they played through one of the locations that you saw, well, you can see in the trailer that they released. Don't draw on OneNote. How do I remove that?
Hey, don't you remove the stuff I'm drawing on the page.
So it was a playthrough, which I'm sure anyone who's watched the conference has seen anyway, but a lot of people find those boring because they're about an hour and a half to 2 hours, so you've got to sit through everything to watch stuff. But so they played through New York, which was the bit where you see some dudes in underwater gear trying to get through a thing. So you're like in an underwater tunnel. I don't really know where it is.
You're in the river. And you're going to blow up this submarine that's hanging about.
Yeah,
so you're
but they had to get out through a thing, and there were all these cars under the water as well, which I didn't really understand, unless somewhere flooded.
Bridge blew up or something.
So then you had to like plant a mine on a submarine, and then when you planted the mine on the submarine, you went inside the submarine and killed some people, and then when you came out the submarine, you got onto a boat, and then you drove a boat, and then shot people while on the boat, and then you got off the boat, and then you took off in a Chinook and then watched everything on fire.
Yeah.
There was a lot of shit in that.
Fun.
You didn't have any time to breathe because you were just constantly going from one thing to another because it was a huge scripted event.
Yes, scripted.
It was just... It looked pretty nice. New York on fire looked pretty cool. There was some weird slow-mo, like, bullet time when you were setting off an explosive on a door in the submarine. I'm not sure what that was about.
Yeah, well, as soon as the bomb went off and a guy went through the door, time just slowed down a lot. So if there's a feature, you'll be able to control in the game, or if it's just something that will just happen randomly for important events, who knows?
I'm not sure whether it would have been... Because I don't think it would have been like a button, bullet time button, like Max Payne style, because that'd just be a bit weird in a game like this. But I think probably what it was they related it to the explosion. So like how they would in the original Call of Duty, when a shell went off near you, everything would go a bit slow. But then it didn't sound like an explosive had gone off. I don't know. Anyway, so they said November 8th, which I'm pretty sure had been confirmed a little while ago. The DLC will be first available on Xbox 360.
So, like the existing few games, Xbox has the map packs
DLC first.
Whoopie doodah.
Yeah, so that's cool. Well, it's good for Call of Duty fans. There was a lot of Microsoft points around that time. Please stop writing on the show notes, Paul.
What?
It's a wee fun. WTF.
I'm just drawing, leave it alone. Anyway, more impressively, we don't want to talk about Modern Warfare anymore. Let's get on with it.
We're finished with Modern Warfare now.
More impressively, the Tomb Raider footage actually looked really good.
So, yeah, the Tomb Raider footage looked nice. I'm a bit confused on it, though. So, you play 21-year-old Lara, and it's of course they've gone back to the start, not as far back as Tomb Raider Chronicles. Or was it Revelations? I think it was Chronicles, the one where you played as Lara with pigtails. It hasn't gone like that, but she's like, for anyone who saw the E3 trailer that was announced recently, she gets like shipwrecked off a boat and falls down into some water and then turns up on an island. And she's kind of found herself captive. This is like where the demo started. So you were captive in this kind of upside down cocoon-like thing, like what you'd imagine a spider would trap you in if they were absolutely massive. And she had to swing loose and set fire to it and, you know, like fall away out of the captivity of these unknown people. But it was really random because, so you swung her about to get her loose and she falls down, and then there's a QTE in order to take a bone out of her body. I think she fell on a bone and it got stuck in her.
It was a spike on the floor.
Was it a spike? I thought it looked like a bone.
No, it was a spike or something, because a bone would penetrate you like that, would it?
Well, yeah, I thought, what is she doing? Is she pulling out one of her own bones? That wouldn't make any sense. Okay, so that makes a bit more sense for me.
It's a bit unrealistic, though, because being impaled on a spike through the side like that, she wouldn't be able to walk, let alone jump around.
That would have pierced through her organs. She'd be dying on the floor right now.
Mm-hmm. So and that's it for the Tomb Raider demo. That's it, really. Lara got killed. And that's it.
So it wasn't Keely Hawes. It was someone else. Someone who sounded a lot younger. But she sounded all right. She was kind of like constantly talking to herself and narrating.
And being crazy.
It was kind of weird. I'm guessing...
I ran away.
Exactly like that. Which I imagine they were doing to like signify her feeling of isolation, really, and that she needed to keep herself active or something.
I need to get out of here.
So like it was quite cute because she then could pick up a torch. I imagine you needed a torch at that point because it might have been too dark otherwise. But like one thing I noticed was there's button prompts on items that you can do stuff with. So like it said like R1 or R2 or something like that on the torch, and then you could just pick it up. Actually, was that? And that said, RB or LB. I swear that said R2. No, they would have been playing on 360.
R2, I'm confused D2. Now.
So it seemed really weird because you then got attacked by this dude and you had to use a QTE to break loose. And there seems to be a large emphasis on QTEs in this game.
Well,
so, like,
they're the QTE new trendy person, aren't they?
Well, they're not, though. In a way, it made it feel like, I don't know, Heavy Rain or something like that. So you were just pressing some certain buttons to get free and things like that. So I'm just wondering if there is combat in it, or if there isn't. It just seemed a little weird. Of course, she didn't have anything to hit them with, and they were grabbing her legs, which would be absolutely fucking horrible. Absolutely horrible. But,
don't swear, Catherine. I can't edit the show.
I didn't mean to swear. I apologize. I don't know, because it just seemed really weird that they had QTEs for any kind of combat. Not that it was core combat, like a Tomb Raider game would usually have. They had said they were like doing an overhaul on the combat, though. But the one thing that I didn't know that was coming was their what they call survival instincts.
Ooh, sounds cool.
Do you remember that? Did you see that? Because if you go into your survival instincts kind of mode, it highlights potential solutions around you.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, detective mode or anything like that recently in games. So you'd then see, oh, this barrel's interesting, or this thing here is interesting. Why don't I do this?
Fun.
So they've done that to, I guess, make it more appealing and easier for some people. Because, of course, sometimes the Tomb Raider puzzles can get pretty hard.
In other words, they've dumbed it down.
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, though, I'd like to know if you have to use these survival instincts or if you don't. Because, of course, if you don't have to use them, then that's fine, because you could figure out the puzzle on your own. But the thing is, of course, a lot of people, if they get so fed up with a puzzle, they can just decide, oh, I'm not going to play this game anymore. It's crap. Just sound like that.
I'm going to trade it in.
But yeah, so it looked nice. You seem to be constantly rushing from this bit in the demo, which I suppose is good to keep you
Well, the thing is, it's a demo, isn't it? You know, they need to show as much as they can as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So you're going to rush through it.
It seemed more like an environmental threat this time around as well, though, which is good, because in the last few Tomb Raiders, they've just put too many enemies in and just shoved enemies in, and you're just shooting them. But as it's auto-targeted in the past, you don't really actually have to do anything. It made me think of L.A. Noire when you were rushing around a lot, because it was constant rushing. I think there was a bit when you were running at the end. Yeah, because she was running in it and trying not to get hit by boulders while trying to escape the area. And I just thought, wow, I wonder if you're just holding down the right trigger in order to get free, which is kind of L.A. Noire. But yeah, I thought it looked cool. I hope you should be able to check it out this week. Hopefully play it, I don't know. And they said it's coming out fall next year. So it's got quite a lot of time left in development.
A little while then.
Yeah, it's a little while. So then they had EA come on.
Yeah, they trotted out Peter Moore.
Yeah.
Hi,
so
Peter Moore.
They mentioned...
Hey, we should have found out if he still has his Halo tattoos.
Maybe.
His Halo 2 one, if I recall.
So they announced like they were doing lots of stuff with Kinect support. So Tiger Woods, NFL, FIFA 12, Sims 3 Pets apparently is going to have Kinect support.
And one other unannounced game, didn't they say?
Yeah, an unannounced game as well as Family Game Night 4. So apparently they're all going to have Kinect support. I'm not sure how they're going to put the pet stuff in. I guess they'll make it Kinectables like. So you can play normal Sims and then go into your pet mode or something like that, unless it's going to be a specifically pet orientated thing and you're not actually going to play Sims. Who knows? They of course then went into further detail on Mass Effect 3. It's because I put ME3, which of course a lot of people were put down recently when it was leaked about Kinect support in Mass Effect. Because I think a box art made its way on the internet, which had the little "better with Kinect." Is that what it says?
Yes.
Or Kinect support? Yeah. So it had that on the box. So people were like, "Oh, what's that going to do?" So I think that's actually really cool what they've done with it.
This is what I said. Games needed to do back when Kinect came out.
Yeah.
That you have dual control. You use Kinect for some things, and you still use the controller for other things. So what Mass Effect is doing is allowing you to select the dialogue from the little dialogue selector thing that comes up. Because that's,
dialogue trees.
Yeah, that's really easy to do because they only have to distinguish if you're saying option 1, 2, 3, or 4 or whatever. So that's nice and easy to implement. Although realistically, I don't think anyone would use it because talking is a lot more difficult than just pressing a button on a controller.
I think it's awesome.
Nah, it's annoying. Secondly...
Well, they've said their reason for doing it is so you're like... It's like you're conversing with the characters.
Yeah, but it's faster just to press a button, isn't it?
I know, yeah, that's true.
The other thing you're doing is you can now control your teammates do it. So you point the location like you normally would, and then you can say something, and then they move there or whatever. So very sort of old school, like Rainbow Six sort of stuff.
So it was like you pointed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool, because then that's making it slightly more tactical.
The only trouble with that is you have to pronounce their names properly.
Well, the thing is, you hear their names so much throughout
it's like,
the game.
So shut up, hobo lady, alien bug face. Go over there.
Yes, Paul. So that was pretty much what they announced for Mass Effect 3. They then said there'd be more at the EA conference, although it was just a demo, really, that they did that. So I think what they've done with Mass Effect 3 seems pretty cool in terms of Kinect.
Yeah, Kinect support is obviously welcome.
Cheap to out or anything.
Yeah, they didn't try and do anything lame, like using Kinect to control it, because obviously that would be pointless.
Well, it wouldn't work, would it?
No, it's Mass Effect. It's a proper game. You can't just shoehorn, you know, Kinect into it, can you?
Kinect in.
Mm. Next thing, Ubisoft was trotted out, and they showed off Ghost Recon Future Soldier. They showed a nice sort of gameplay footage of this. Well, it wasn't really gameplay, but... You know,
pre-rendered.
Yeah, this is so cool, man. We're hardcore soldier people with cloaking devices. blah, 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 we just killed and murdered people, but that's okay.
They did play through the game, though, at the Ubisoft conference. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
What they did announce, yeah, though, is Kinect support for this as well. So specifically, Kinect uses this. They've got an add-on feature
Gunsmith.
For it called Gunsmith, where you can use Kinect to voice control stuff and make the guns and customize them and make the guns fly apart and test the guns with Kinect and everything.
It looked like fun making them like go together and then go apart because he just moved his hands.
Yeah, so this is obviously just bolted onto the game.
It was very Brink-like, though, because there's a lot of customization on the weapons in Brink. And it just seemed kind of very similar to that, but just a bit more, realistic,
flashy.
I suppose, in a way. Flashy.
Yeah.
I did like the fact, though, that you could say long-range weapon, close-range, randomize, and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you could randomize your weapon, and you ended up with this weird-looking thing with bits of sellotape to it and stuff. So.
Yeah. And then what was awesome, you could then take it into a test simulation firing range.
Yeah.
And then fire it on some targets and see how well it worked.
With Kinect, that
they claimed, yeah, with Kinect. So he looked really weird when he was firing the gun, because he did it with Kinect.
Yeah, so basically he held up his two hands to aim, and then with one hand he opened and closed it to fire.
And then I think when he did the long range, he put a hand up to use the scope or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, he moved his other hand up and that activated the scope.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
And then to remove it, he just sort of slung him over his back.
Yeah.
And put the weapon away and back into the edit mode.
Mm. They claim there's 20 million unique weapons you can have. I suppose
million.
You can change so many tiny little different things. Yeah. I thought it was a nice thing to put on the side. Of course, the core gameplay will still be controller-based. But
yeah, of course.
They just added a little feature into it.
Microsoft also showed off their new dashboard for the Xbox 360. I actually think it looks quite good. So they've removed...
I do too.
They've removed the existing stuff where you can just fit five squares you can fit on the screen. You have to do a lot of scrolling to find stuff.
Yeah.
And they've made it much more like the Windows Phone, Windows 8,
the very Windows
Metro... sort of interface where you've got tiles and then a sort of Metro header bar across the top where you can scroll through them like that.
Mm. Of course, you can still use a controller, but I think it's a nice idea
to
have everything controlled or voice-based.
Dashboard is now voice-enabled.
Yeah, so I think that's really good. Especially when they went into a bit more, which I'm sure you'll talk about right now.
What?
How are they putting the Bing search?
Oh, yeah. So you can now say Xbox Bing Harry Potter and it will find the Harry Potter films. You can download the games.
All the games.
Download. So basically any content on the Xbox related to Harry Potter, the Lego Harry Potters, it will just spring all that up so you can find it really easily. The only thing with that...
I thought that was awesome.
It's going to be a bit annoying saying Xbox Bing Harry Potter because people saw the Xbox... find Harry Potter would be more appropriate, and I do hope they allow both.
True.
Because I don't want to have two or three trademarked items in what I'm saying. I want to have some adjectives in there.
Yeah.
But that actually looked quite cool.
I thought it was good though.
It had the Bing picture of the day. Obviously it's
That was cool.
Web search in a web browser, which would I think be the next logical step to take. But they've also got YouTube support on there now.
Yes.
If you can actually use Bing to search on YouTube, they didn't really demo that, or if YouTube were just...
No, they didn't show YouTube at all, though.
No,
They just said, oh, you can check out the best videos and stuff like that. So I was a bit confused on exactly what they're having to do with YouTube.
Because they probably only just reached the agreement with Google to do that, so...
Yeah, so they're probably still...
They're probably still experimenting with how YouTube would actually work best on it. Like, we don't know if you can now upload directly to YouTube and stuff like that as well from, Kinect games.
That'd be cool.
So that'd be quite...
Yeah, that'd be cool, because there's so many games that record video and stuff like that. It'd be nice if you could actually do something with your Halo videos, as opposed to only get them through the website.
Yeah.
They announced lots of they said they were going to have number of partnerships increased by a factor of 10 or something silly. So they're having
this
Xbox Live TV.
Yeah, this refers to the IPTV stuff.
Yeah. But what... The UK had Sky.
Yep.
Does that mean then you'd have to still be paying for Sky?
Well, yeah. Well,
I think that's late.
Yeah, what they haven't really announced was an Xbox Live Diamond subscription, which is what people were expecting for this. So you pay your £10 a month, and then you can access IPTV on your TV anyway. They didn't really flash out any details about that, so we're not really sure. But yeah, a lot more live TV content on the Xbox is coming. If it'll be any more...
I imagine it'd be best if you're in America.
Yeah, because the thing is, in the UK, we've already got Sky on it. No one uses it for that because no one has Sky. No one has a multi-room subscription, and then no one pays for an Xbox Live subscription as well. So there's probably like 3 people in the country that use that. So yeah, it's kind of pointless, to be honest. What it does need is BBC iPlayer. But
yeah, well, I'm like, why aren't they using the flippy BBC?
Well, they entered into negotiations with the BBC a while back. This was like 3 or 4 years ago now. And basically, Microsoft wanted only Xbox Live Gold subscribers to have access to it.
Oh, and of course the BBC wouldn't like
wanted
that.
Everyone to have access to it, so they didn't reach an agreement at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. As well as that, they announced some UFC stuff
for anyone who's UFC fans. We don't need to talk about that.
Which I'm guessing it would actually probably only be for America as well, I'd imagine.
Yes.
And it's like watching fights and calling decisions or something like that.
Who cares?
And then seeing who of your friends called what, and then you get bragging rights or something.
When I take a shotgun into the place and start gunning people down, you know, then you're talking.
What?
Some guy just punching another guy. You know, we've got a proper sport for that. It's called boxing. It's got proper rules. You know, just like fist someone in the face and then slap him with the back of your foot or something. You know, fight properly. So anyway, Gears of War 3 was also shown off. Cliff Bleszinski was trotted out to demonstrate this. As always,
along with Ice-T.
Yeah, as always, it's got co-op support, blah, 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 blah. It's Gears of War 3. We know the drill.
They fought Leviathan.
What was that? A shotgun?
Got some stuff. That was Charlotte sneezing.
That was a sneeze?
Paul asked if it was a shotgun. So, Gears of War 3. They showed us some new stuff. They said thanks to people for playing the beta. Showed some play. And that was it.
Is it any different to the other Gears of War games, or...?
I'm sure there's different stuff in it.
What?
I don't know. They showed him getting in one of those little... Did they call it a silverback? The little mech suit thing.
Oh, whoopee doodah.
I don't know. And then Ice-T said something about reviving his band because they're putting Horde mode back in.
Oh.
Fun. And yeah. Yeah, so they played Gears of War 3.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Gears of War is a really good game. But, you know, they all look the same. They're all the same.
I think Marcus looked a bit different.
Okay, he might have looked a bit more...
He looked like...
Polished.
Well, no, he looked like they'd cleaned up his face a little.
Well, yeah, he had just had a shave, didn't he? It's cool.
He just had a shave, so Gears of War 3 comes out soon. I'm sure people were excited by seeing the co-op stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
Then Crytek announced the name of their game, which they showed last year, which is called Rise.
Which is
R-Y-S-E, though, not R-I-S-E.
Which is set in Roman times. In Roman times, and you play a guy who does stuff with Kinect.
Beats people up.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
I don't know if I don't know. It looked nice, but it seemed like, you know, what, Fighters Uncaged kind of fighting. You're just beating people up. I don't know.
We'll see.
What did you think of it?
I actually thought it looked quite good, but obviously we need to see more gameplay footage.
Because that
because it only showed gameplay footage. It only showed like 5 seconds of gameplay, really, didn't it? So
yeah,
the rest of it was just sort of building the atmosphere and everything, which was cool.
It was a nice video,
you know. So we need to see more of that really before we can judge it.
Yeah,
but obviously setting it in Roman times, that's quite cool. Because of not many games have really touched that sort of point in history.
No, there were a few. There were a few PS2 games with Spartan and what was the other one? Spartan. Was that the Capcom one? I don't know.
Who kicked the Romans came along and kicked their backsides. Games.
Yeah, well, there were a few PS2 games which were Roman based, and there's been a few other things here and there, but not a huge amount. Not as many as you get like with World War II and stuff like that.
We're boring.
Yeah. Next up was prequel news, which everyone kind of knew was happening anyway, which was Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
So remake which will be of Halo 1.
Yep.
Halo 1 remastered. Actually, I'm not even going to say remake Halo 1 with slightly higher quality textures.
Do you think that's all they'll do? Well, they've said they've remastered
lighting
the campaign
and stuff will be done. But I mean, what they showed...
Didn't have the reach base from them.
What they showed didn't really look drastically... I mean, obviously the textures
turned
over, but... You know, the Master Chief...
Cortana sounded weird as well. Did you think that? Cortana sounded different.
Cortana did sound a bit different in the first one.
I think... Oh, really? Are they not going to use the same one they've got?
Two and three? Well, no, they used the same actor, but in two or three they had a slightly different voice effect on her.
Okay, because she sounded a bit off, I thought.
Yeah, I think that was just random. I'm not sure if they got that out of the game or not.
Maybe that was original. I don't know. They've said there's going to be 7 multiplayer maps, one of which is a new one that they've made from Reach. And the other 6 are redone versions, well, updated versions of originals. Online co-op, online multiplayer.
Which is good, because obviously Halo 1 didn't have any of that, but the PC version.
It's 343 making it, so they're the guys that did Waypoint. And they're using Saber Interactive and Certain Affinity as well. I think Certain Affinity are doing the multiplayer maps. I'm not sure what Saber Interactive are doing. But yeah, so they're redoing it. Hopefully it'll be good. Do you think they'll change anything on it? On the campaign? You don't think they will? Apparently they're announcing some more about it.
No, if this looks like low budget. Quickly, let's just port Halo 1. And yeah, make some money this year.
Okay. They're announcing more at Halo Fest, which is happening during PAX Prime in August. So I imagine they'll announce some more news for Halo Combat Evolved and what's in the show notes as well.
Turn 10 was also trotted out to show off Forza Motorsport 4. Nothing we didn't really know before. It's got Kinect support. It's got the funky car viewer with Kinect support. It's got head tracking, which is nice. They've made some other improvements to it. For example, it's got decent tire physics on it now. Well, not that the old tire physics were bad, but instead of having a in-game tire model they're using to render physics, they've actually taken real-world data, and that directly drives the tire physics rather than having their own model to do it. Lighting's also been improved because cars are now lit via the environment rather than having their own light which light the cars, so now they won't stand out quite as much as they have done in previous games.
Cool. I don't think I mentioned it, but for Halo it's November 15th and Forza 4 they put October 11th down as the date.
Well, starting October 11th.
Yeah.
Because it'll be probably the 14th over here, won't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, all the dates that we mentioned today are American dates anyway, so we'll just get the games around that time.
Whatever.
Next up, they showed some Fable the Journey, which is a Kinect Fable game.
Yeah, they reanimated Peter Molyneux and dragged his corpse out to show this off.
He's not dead.
I thought he was dead.
So
it's been so long since we've had a black and white game, I forget these things.
It was an on-rails game with gesture-based spells, really. That's what it seemed like.
So yeah, basically Harry Potter definitely had his part one, plus horsey driving.
And Hobbs.
Yeah, as opposed to bad Voldemort people.
Death Eaters.
Whatever they are.
Yeah. They said it's coming out 2012. It looked very early. But then, actually no.
It's a
it didn't look as early as Kinect Star Wars looked. But I don't know. It looked all right. I guess it'll do okay. I wasn't moved by it. But I think shoving Kinect to make a whole game, I'm not sure if I'm still with that.
No.
Or liking that yet.
Because the thing
it seemed
is,
almost like a Kinect game to just be a Kinect game. And I think Fable works okay as an adventure, action-adventure.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is obviously just the sort of side tacked on Fable game just for Kinect, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yeah. Well, they've been playing with Kinect Lionhead. They had about it on Edge magazine, so I guess they were doing research for that. Next up, they announced Minecraft for Xbox Live, I imagine. I wouldn't think it's a full-blown retail release.
No, it'd be a live arcade game, right?
And it's going to have Kinect support as well. And it's coming out winter this year. And it's only coming out on Xbox 360, apparently. So it won't be out on PS3.
Oh, the PC.
Of course, it's already on PC. But they want to bring that kind of user base over to the 360. So they had a huge emphasis on Kinect, really, didn't they? So next up, they announced Kinect Disneyland Adventures.
Hang on, let's talk about Minecraft a bit more.
Okay, you can talk about Minecraft.
Because Minecraft is really cool. The reason I don't play it is because they don't have a proper Windows client. They expect me to use Java to play it. Sod off.
Oh, yeah.
Me install Java? Why would I want to put that pile of rubbish on my computer? So yeah, Disneyland Adventures, this is a fun game for children and Tim where you can explore Disneyland in the comfort of your own home and harass Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, it was weird that you could explore Disneyland.
So yeah, you can literally just walk around and then you could, you know, click on a specific, well, whatever they call it, gesture over a specific thing and you could go on the ride, which all looks pretty similar. You collect coins, you run along, blah, 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 blah. Oh, look, so there's Peter Pan, and there's Captain Hook, la-di-da.
Well, they weren't the levels weren't that similar to each other. So they did a Peter Pan level where you were flying around and collecting coins, as Paul said.
Yeah, but those kids they had on stage almost made me vomit in my mouth. It's just like,
I know.
Could they be any worse actors?
Well, they're kids, you know, give them that. It was very Disney-coloured as well, I'd say, like, stylistically, and was kind of the same colours as you'd see from, like, Kingdom Hearts or something like that. And it was also slightly cel-shaded, which you could tell when you saw Captain Hook. They showed a Alice in Wonderland level as well, in a video, I think that was, which was kind of Monkey Ball. Or was it actually, no, one of the kids was playing that, wasn't they? Yeah, because it was like you were falling down at the start, collecting coins, and then you were almost in a monkey ball style.
Well, yeah, you were in, you know, the gladiator bally cage type things, and then the wolf man was coming along behind you, and then they were ah!
Yes, Paul. So that comes out this holiday apparently, and it just seemed like loads of mini games, and it's something good for kids, I suppose.
Yep, kids game. And Tim,
I ain't been to Disneyland. I don't want to go to Disneyland.
Go to Universal Studios, it's better. Then of course they showed off Kinect Star Wars, which is what a lot of people have been waiting for. What was that?
It was someone else sneezing.
Can you tell them to shut up? I'm trying to do the show here. You know.
So they started off the Kinect Star Wars with a video, which, like, so there was pod racing, flying, combat.
Yeah, so it would already it was already known it was going to have pod racing because that was announced, well, leaked or whatever.
Pod racing's awesome.
So yeah, it's got that. It's got space combat, presumably, as well, because it had a lot of space stuff in the cutscene trailer.
There was some space combat. There was some space combat in the gameplay in those trailers.
Yeah. But the actual demo showed the guy just walking along with his lightsaber, swing, 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 not doing any hardcore moves or backflips or anything like that.
No, but just a swing.
Yeah. But then he could do something. What did he do? A little jump? Or how did he, like, charge forward really fast?
Oh, I don't know how he did that. I know if you just dodged, he'd do, like, backflips and stuff.
Yeah, so he could jump and, like, jump over people and stuff like that.
But it's Clone Wars, isn't it?
I don't know.
But I also noticed they didn't have his likeness for the Christian Hayden Christensen. Is that his name? They didn't get his likeness. he didn't look anything like it.
Yeah, but I just thought this was a generic Star Wars game.
Well, definitely set in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, it's got stuff from that. It's got, you know, the robots and stuff, but...
But then it did have the pod racing, which is more Episode 1 based.
Yeah, I think this is just generic Star Wars.
Probably.
So it's got lots of different chips.
Did you notice how on rails it was?
Well, of course it's on rail, isn't it? It's a Kinect game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I suppose every other Kinect game is, really. They need to figure out a solution for it.
Yeah, hold a controller in one hand.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything else about Star Wars? It seemed very early code.
Yeah. I mean, he could pick stuff up with force powers and, you know...
Oh, yeah.
...kick with his legs to kick stuff. You know, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Then they showed the Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster game, which is, of course, Double Fine's new game.
So yeah, they resurrected Tim Schafer and brought him out.
He's not dead! So they showed it off. He said, like, this cute stuff about how his daughter... Well, he realised, like, he really enjoyed working on it. Or he really enjoys that he's working on it because his daughter came up to him and told him she didn't want him to go to work or something. And he was like, oh, I've got to make video games. And she was like, are you making a game for me? And he was like, you know, actually, I am. Because he's making a game for little kids. I'd say this is a
this
better thing
This is not for little kids.
Disneyland.
This is
for little kids.
It's got Elmo in it. That means automatic 15 rating. He's evil.
So they had a playthrough. There was the Cookie Monster and Elmo, and like
I know where you live.
You had to do different things. So there was like kind of what's the word?
Bog standard Kinect style mini games where you either move your hands around and hit stuff, and you know then you have to scare some guy by looking scary.
So the first little game they played was like moving chairs. I can't think what the party game is. Musical chairs, but when you're standing and chairs aren't involved. I can't think of what it's called.
So you had to move around. In other words.
Well, no, you had to move around lots and then stop when the monster stopped. Musical statues, as Shark tells me. So it was kind of like a game of musical statues that you had to then play. So you had to move around lots, and then when the monster froze, you froze in his pose. And then there was, like, putting bugs on a tree. The thing is, it's cute. It's Sesame Street. Kids love it.
Yep, kids game.
I liked Sesame Street when I was little. It is a kids game. It's cute, though. It looks nice. It's nice and purpley.
Yes.
But, like,
you can't this is certainly more of the sort of games Microsoft needs to expand their kiddie base, but...
Yeah, they don't have enough kids games on there.
Let's get some more hardcore games on the PC.
Yeah, so they showed that off. That was cool. It's a shame they didn't show off Trenched as well. Really? Oh. Okay, Shark informs me Trenched is out like next week or something like that. That's crazy.
What is Trenched?
Which makes sense. I showed you it was the movable mech tower defense game. Doesn't matter.
When's it out?
They then showed a few weeks' time.
Oh.
Mobile Trenches. 22nd.
Oh, that stupid. Oh, yeah.
I liked it. Then they announced those are their Kinect stuff. So, well, more Kinect stuff with the stuff they've had recently. Oh, so they opened out Kinect development tools to people, and they've now made these Kinect Fun Labs, which is full of three different little things at the moment, which went live yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
Or today. Which involve there's a Kinect Me, which has avatar scanning.
Well, let's back up. So the Kinect Fun Labs is a sort of application which runs on the Xbox where you can download these little mini games to it. So there's, for example, Kinect Me. There's that thing with the googly eyes. There's the thing where you make Sonic into a character.
Kinect Me, Kinect Sparkler.
Yeah, the drawing one and stuff. So, yeah. I played around with Kinect Me. It does actually make a quite good likeness of you.
Was it creepy? I thought her one looked really creepy.
They do look creepy, but the creepiest thing about it was you could still see my World of Warcraft t-shirt on the avatar.
Oh, yeah. I think that's well weird. I'll have to do that. Put on a cool t-shirt and have that as my avatar.
But it's not actually your avatar.
You can't use it as your avatar?
No.
That's lame, then.
Yeah, but it's also not terribly surprising because, you know, it is a bit, you know, not...
Yeah.
Final, and the thing is, it would put a lot of overhead on anything that handles avatars.
True.
Because now you just have to have all these custom textures and everything dragged in them, so...
I suppose.
But yeah, it's pretty cool to see something of that, actually, because it does take a picture of your face and sort of maps that onto the thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the 3DS, for example, where it tries to match you to the closest set of templates it's already got or something. Mm. So... yeah, then I started downloading the one where you can make Sonic as your dude.
What do you mean?
You know, the one where you hold Sonic up to it and you can make it into...
Oh, googly eyes.
No, the other one. Just where you make a character and then you can control him.
I thought that was Kinect googly eyes.
Was it?
Yeah, you scanned an object and then could control them.
Yeah.
Did you put Toro in?
No, I got bored. It was downloading, and it was 200 meg, and I was just like, oh, sod this.
You could have put Toro in.
That's what I was going to do, but I just got fed up waiting
for it. Okay.
I need
But yeah, so then... and then Kinect Sparkler was the thing that had finger tracking. I didn't really understand the point of it.
Just to draw a picture, really. Yeah,
take two pictures of yourself and make a three-dimensional image.
Well, take two pictures of anything.
Yeah.
So you would put something in the foreground, put something in the background, and then you could draw around those objects in 3D.
Yeah.
So in and out of them and stuff. So yeah, la-di-da, that's quite cool. But yeah, this is just lots of sort of tech demos at the moment, is how I really want to describe it. But importantly, you do get the G out of them.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
How much? 200?
I don't think it's that much.
Oh.
Let me just have a look here. Just stall. Dude, we have to talk.
Huh?
I'm logging into the website.
That's cool. I wouldn't have thought they'd had G with them because they did look like tech demos. I'm confused. That means, but they're free.
Keep talking.
They're free?
Yeah, they're free. If I paid for them, would I download
it? No, you wouldn't.
No.
You would not at all. That's cool, though. Especially because they're free.
50G.
50G.
Well, the Kinect Me was 50G anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's cool. Is it just for doing things?
Yeah. Get a shot in front of every background, 5G. Choose your own background, 5G. Scan your body, 5G. Scan your head, 5G. Share with your friends, 5G. Spread the word, 5G. Share 10 photo shootouts with your friend, 10G. And post for 25 photo shoots, 10G.
Wow, so it's a quick 50G then?
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, a quick 150G maybe. For at least, like, you know, getting all three. So that's cool. They also then announced Kinect Sports Season 2. So like how we had Wii Sports Resort as opposed to Wii Sports. They've done a Season 2 of Kinect stuff.
Sports? Yeah, so this is golf, American football, tennis, darts, skiing, and baseball.
Yep.
Hopefully this won't be a full 40 quid game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 40 quid for this? No offense, people, but...
Well, they've added in-game voice, apparently. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
Let's say 20 quid. That's a bit more realistic. 25 quid, maybe.
And apparently it uses more gestures for Kinect.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, the way you sort of control things in Kinect, a lot of the games either just use the cursor on a screen that you control with your hand, or they use swiping gestures like Dance Central. So getting more sort of universal gestures that games use to speed things up a bit is good. Because Dance Central is obviously really fast, but it's a little bit tricky to figure out how to do it, first of all. But obviously, once people get used to that sort of thing, then no problem.
They then also announced Dance Central 2, which features, again, voice control. There's a campaign mode. All the songs from Dance Central 1 can be imported into Dance Central 2.
But you obviously need Dance Central 1 to do that.
Oh, yeah, of course. But then, of course, that means you can just play with Dance Central 2 as opposed to 1, making your first one a bit pointless.
Also, it's got multiplayer now.
Well, I was going to mention that.
Multiplayer.
Simultaneous multiplayer.
Yeah, because in the first one, you took turns, basically.
Yeah.
So you then can have two people on the screen, and it has your moves to the left and to the right. And that seemed to work pretty well.
Yeah, I think they cleaned up the interface a little bit. Just made the sort of tile things on the side a little bit more obvious and stuff. So
yeah, and they had like two of the main people from thingy
Harmonix.
Playing it. So Harmonix. So of course that would show that. Well, they'd be good anyway, but they made it look good. Sadly, they'll probably charge full price for it.
Yep.
But they have added simultaneous dancing, so. I wonder what it means about when they say you can import the songs in.
Well, they'll probably see, hey, look, you've got a copy of Dance Central. Install it to your hard drive or Sonic, and we'll unlock them in Dance Central too. Or, oh, look, you've got a save game there. We'll unlock them directly in Dance Central too. So
maybe it'll be a save game. Because, like, of course, some people might have traded their game in, or people might then think, oh, well, I'll get number two and then get my songs from one and trade it in. I wonder if they've got anything again, like, to protect from that. Or if they haven't, I don't know.
I'd imagine it'd be a one-time check. Okay, this person has had Dance Central in the past.
Yeah.
Here's all the songs as well.
It's nice of them to do it, though. Because then you don't have to, if you really liked a song in Dance Central 1, you won't have to, you know, boot up Dance Central 1 and be like, oh, I prefer Dance Central 2 now.
Yeah.
Then they left the final big announcement for the end of the conference, which is, of course, Halo 4.
But more importantly, they said it's going to be another trilogy.
Is that what he said? Because I thought he just said, oh, we're going to add to an existing trilogy that everyone kind of
No, the way it sounded to me was we're going to start up a new trilogy.
Oh, really?
And then the Halo 4 trailer played, yeah.
Oh, okay. I took it the other way. I wonder which way it was.
But yeah, quite a few sort of interesting things in it. Obviously, at the end of Halo 3, spoiler alert, the Master Chief was lost in deep space on a ship which was broken. And he was just stranded there. So he went and had a little kip. Yeah. And then at the start of this one, he gets woken up again.
By Cortana, like he asked to.
Right? Yeah, and there's a huge mofo alien ship, or Sonic.
Yep.
It didn't look Covenant to me, which is interesting.
Yeah, it didn't. I thought that as well.
So maybe the new bad guys are not the Covenant anymore. Maybe there are some new people, which would be an interesting change, because obviously it would change the Halo universe quite substantially, which is why it would be a new trilogy. Yes. So here's the Master Chief off in deep space, far away from Earth and everywhere.
Look at these new bosses.
Yeah, because the thing is, the Master Chief was stranded on like the other side of the galaxy. So, and here are these dudes over here doing what they do best, which is looking big and scary.
But yeah, so that's cool. They said holiday 2012.
For Halo 4.
So there's a while yet. Yeah, for Halo 4. It ended with Mr. Chief getting exploded out of his ship. Well, there was explosions.
Wreckage of the ship.
Wreckage of the
ship. Because it was pwned at the end of... Because the ship in Halo 3 went to slip space, half of the ship got broken off and was stranded. If you recall.
But yes, so that was the end to their conference, really.
Yep. A few things have been announced since.
Yep.
So during the conference, they didn't really make it clear that voice support was everywhere on a dashboard. They've clarified saying, yeah, voice support is everywhere, which is good. It's also a bunch of new features they're bringing. First up is something called Beacons, which sort of works like a friend invite or party invite, but it basically says to everyone, such and such is looking at playing Halo 3 or Modern Warfare or whatever, and then, you know, you can organize a group from there. Because at the moment, you have to, like, put in a game, then you have to, like, spam all your friends with all these invites. You can't just say, oh, I'm thinking about playing this. Does anyone want to play as well? Which is good, because, you know...
That's cool.
At the moment, you know, you might just have a friend saying, oh, I feel like playing Forza. Is anyone else up for it? They don't have to put the disc in. They can just say something, oh, I'm thinking about playing this, if you want to play. And then,
yeah, that's cool.
So that's a good, quick, easy way to see if anyone wants to play a game. They also have announced cloud storage for save games, which is the last piece of the puzzle that I've been whinging about for quite a while now. So now you can just log into any Xbox. You don't have to go through the whole lengthy account recovery jib-jab anymore. You just log in nice and quick, and then down comes your save games as required.
So all save games, or just the save game for the game you're playing at the time? So will it have to do that every time?
I'm not sure when they'd do it. I would imagine it'd be handled within the game itself.
Because I think that'd be pretty cool, because then I wouldn't have to save specifically to my memory stick if I want to play it at work or something like that.
Well, yeah, but the trouble is, if they do it dashboard level, then, gee, it might suddenly be uploading a gigabyte of save games for you.
True.
Which, you know, might not be a very pleasant experience. So they might just say, yeah, oh, you're playing this, we'll sync this up to the interwebs in the background while you're playing it. La-di-da.
Because it'd be cool, because I forget my memory stick all the time. But it's nice to be able to play stuff at lunchtime. Basically.
So yeah,
And then if I go to friends' houses as well, because if I didn't then have to remember my memory stick if I went to someone's, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Maybe it's good. I guess they need to give us more info on it.
Well, yeah, we need to see how it works. And
especially
obviously
that quick account recovery as well, because that account recovery stuff's horrible.
Yeah. And the thing is, it kills the account on the other machine, because that's really what it's for.
Yeah, and then you've got to do it again.
Yes, but now you can just log in nice and simple, and boom, you can just play on that console with your save games.
Cool. I think that's a good idea.
That's why I've been saying they should. I've been saying that for years. Put save games on internet. Oh, they also
hopefully it'll work out well.
They also announced a new steering wheel.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen this?
No.
It's a wireless steering wheel. It doesn't have a base unit. It's just literally the wheel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have a look at a picture. Is there a picture?
Yeah, there's pictures flying around of it. If you just search for Xbox 360 wireless speed wheel.
I see. Wow, that looks really weird.
Yeah.
It's like a Wii controller.
Yeah, so it's like the sort of Wii wheels, but obviously it's still a controller.
Yeah. Okay, that's weird.
They also announced a Gears of War Limited Edition Xbox as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, have you not... Dude, pay attention. It's got a cool red faceplate and red, and it actually looks really nice. So it's like red and black with Gears of War written on it. I don't know if it makes any Gears of War sounds, though, like the Halo one or not, though.
Oh, it looks pretty flashy. I just sent a picture of it. Is it red? Well, yeah, it's got
red
it's
and black.
Pretty cool. That's cool. Oh, but I've already got a special console.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it does have unique sounds for power and eject. Hopefully,
I wonder what sounds it has.
Hopefully, it'd be Marcus Fenix saying, "Arr, arr, damn, mate. Arr."
yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. See, Paul's telling me stuff I don't know about. That doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, except well, sometimes. Luckily some people know what's going on.
Yes. So yeah, that's pretty much it for the show.
For now.
We'll do another one very soon with EA, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Sony. Actually, no, EA, Ubisoft, Sony news.
Yeah, we'll do a Nintendo one separately.
And then like other stuff as well when we have it. Because, yeah, of course, it's Tuesday for today. For today only. And we'll be checking out stuff on the show floor today. So, yeah. That's pretty much it. And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow for the next fun episode.
Yeah. Paul's loving this.
Yes, fun. I have to be on constant standby in case Catherine wants to record a stupid episode of Stupid Gamercast.
Aww.
Get some Skyrim news.
Well, maybe I will. Who knows?
Go and hassle Todd Howard.
I don't know if Todd Howard's here.
He is there. Go get him.
Okay, so, yeah. We'll catch you tomorrow, I guess.
Yes.
Yes. Bye-bye.